Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods. You bastard, Paul.
Paul's having fun with us here.
Every time that commercial, every time that commercial starts, I'm like, why are we coming back with this?
You think that's our bed music?
Yeah.
And I said, we never come back to the Pina Colada song.
And look
that's
at
not us.
And look at us now.
Now here we are.
Well, it's not me.
It's actually technically
or
called
Paul.
Escape.
It's you. It's the creepiest song of all time. We've done this before, but it's the creepiest song of all time.
Do it again for people that
a happy ending.
Yeah, the guy ends up
back with his girl.
Back with his girl. They both put out personal ads looking for somebody else.
Right. It's really creepy.
It's really creepy.
They'd gotten a little stale. I mean, you figure nowadays they're just Tindering with someone else.
True.
But back then, you actually had to write to a newspaper, take out an ad.
So today, they
respond
would
respond the next day. They it was really
each,
slow.
They each would find each other on Twitter or on Tinder now and be like, oh my God. You were here the whole time. Well, yes, because we've been dating and lived together.
You'd probably recognize their picture on Tinder.
Right, and you're like, wait, why are you on Tinder? And she's like, why are you on Tinder? You're like,
this is back in the days of the classified ads.
Yeah, this is back in the classified. It's such a pervy, creepy 1970s cocaine-fueled song. So bad.
Ben and Woods with you here. Final hour on a Monday, 97.3 The Fan. We've been talking a ton about the Padres firing of Andy Green. We will continue to do that for the foreseeable future, but also had a lot going on in the NFL this weekend. And Woods, I want to address just one more time briefly Antonio Brown, because if I'm one of the other 31 teams, even the Raiders, but mostly the other 30 that didn't have a chance at Antonio Brown this offseason, I'm upset right now about the Patriots and how they are likely going to get off scot-free. They had a free opportunity to sign a game-changing player with almost no repercussions. I mean, he's gone now, and they haven't even paid him basically a dime of his guaranteed money. They say they're not going to. Antonio Brown may file a grievance at this point, but from everything I'm hearing, it sounds like he's unlikely to win. The Patriots get a free shot at signing a game-changing player, and when it doesn't work out, they're not handicapped by salary cap. They're not handicapped by all this money that they've had to shell out for him. I would imagine if there was a lot of other GMs that could say, hey, yeah, do I get a free shot at Antonio Brown? I'd love to take a free shot at him. But I don't want to risk it because it's too expensive. You know, I'm staying away from the off-the-field issues. I don't want to get into that. Patriots just go, and there's no consequences whatsoever to them signing Antonio Brown. They can just say goodbye.
I mean, the only consequence that they have is public perception, but since when has that stopped them at all? I mean, we're talking from the owner on down. I mean, it's never stopped the Patriots.
I think they should have to continue.
What do you want them to do? They got to forfeit a game or something?
No, but they should have to pay Antonio Brown what he was guaranteed, or at least be, you know, locked up under the salary cap or what they committed to him.
Yep.
I think there should be a negative consequence for that failed risk that they went out and took on Antonio Brown. The only consequence they got is they won a game even easier because they had him.
Yeah.
The one game that he was there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, look, this is what we've become accustomed to, not only in the NFL, but a lot with the New England Patriots.
Someone needs to hold Bill Belichick's feet to the fire.
They try. There's no holding of his feet to the fire.
Do they try?
They try.
What does it sound like when they try to hold Bill Belichick's feet to the fire in New England?
This was Friday, right after the news broke.
No, there are questions about Antonio. We take all the situations with our team very seriously, and there are some things that we're looking into. But I'm not going to have any comment on any of the off the field situations or questions on that. So anything on football, happy to answer.
As far as your work with Antonio in football, do the off-field accusations, allegations complicate your ability to coach him, your feelings about him personally?
Yeah, when we work on football, we work on football.
Coach, can you just talk a little bit about Antonio Brown's role this weekend?
No, I'm not going to get into that. We're going to do what's best for the team like we always do.
You always say you want what's best for the team. So how do you weigh with your players their performance on the field with their behavior off the field, and what's best for the team overall?
Yeah, well, it's a big picture question. You know, we answer it the best we can. There's no set formula.
Jesus.
Well, how important is the behavior off the field?
Everything's important.
Cool.
Phil Perry? Bill, do you expect to have Antonio available to you on Sunday?
He's on our roster.
Oh, God.
Bill, another headline today. Focusing on Antonio Brown, does any of this at all affect his status with the team?
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this, so we're going to get ready for the Jets here. Happy to answer any football questions, but the rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Hi, Jerry. Was there ever a point where some of the off-field stuff is enough?
Okay.
Is enough?
So, yeah. That's it. Yeah, I'm good. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, no accountability. That just...
None.
No.
Doesn't have to answer any questions. Look, I don't know what you can do. I mean, at this point, he's out there. You took a shot on him. You cut him. I did see people giving them credit. Well, you know what? The first sign of trouble, they let him go. No, not really. I mean, the first sign of trouble is you never sign a guy like that. But they did it. I mean, look, it's a bigger picture thing, you guys, when you're talking about off the field-ish. And every team... Ben, every team has something or somebody you probably don't want on that team, whether it's a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team. There probably isn't they're not all perfect gentlemen. And you got to be careful because someday it can be your team. I've had to do it. You know, you've had to do it. We've all had to do it. Everybody's got that one where you're like, damn it, don't bring that up. You know, the Patriots just seem to do it a little bit more, I think, than the others. And sometimes in their case, it works out for them. A lot of times it doesn't. And they just continue to keep their head down and go win football games.
You know what? That's fine. And they make their choices, as Bill Belichick does, at the best interest of the team. They're trying to win football games. I just bother that they never have any negative consequences when they make a mistake.
Yeah.
They made a mistake on Antonio Brown. They shouldn't have signed him in the first place, and it's not going to hurt him at all. At all. Most teams, you sign Antonio Brown and he turns into a train wreck, it probably wrecks your entire season. For the Patriots, they're just going to keep chugging along and probably head towards 16-0 with or without him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, and that seems to be what they're best at. Head down, mouth shut, win football games. Tom Brady has said that he's got personal feelings about Antonio Brown. He's not going to share those.
All right, got some big news here for listeners of 97.3 The Fan. The Grand Slam giveaway is back beginning next Monday, September 30th. Listen for the code word at 57 past the hour, beginning at 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in our national cash contest on 97.3 The Fan. So that starts next Monday. Well, we haven't even brought up college football. Had some good games, had some crazy games over the weekend. Your Fighting Irish gave a heck of an effort against Georgia.
BFD.
A game they were underdogs by two touchdowns.
Yep.
Were right in it until the end. I thought impressive on account of the Irish. I love that they play that game, that they're willing to schedule teams like Georgia.
They always have.
It's good for college football that they will play games like that.
Yeah, and that's the whole...
Gold star for the Irish for effort.
But, you know, there's no moral victories. And I feel like as a Notre Dame fan, you find yourself settling for a lot of moral victories. I'm over it.
In college football, to me, it's more than a moral victory. A close loss on the road against an undefeated top five team is weighed in at the end of the season.
Not if you're not in a conference. There's still a shot.
If that's the one loss for Notre Dame, and they're sitting there with a bunch of other one-loss teams, and they're trying to decide who makes the playoff, and maybe Georgia finishes unbeaten. Maybe they knock off Alabama later in the season, SEC championship game. I think that plays well for Notre Dame later, that they took on that challenge on the road and made it very respectable in the end. I don't think you're giving the Irish enough credit for this.
I'm definitely not. I mean, it's, you know, you as sloppy as you played to have a chance to win it at the end and have the worst play calling in history. Brian Kelly is good, but he's not good enough. He's just 10 years doing this. I mean, I've been watching this guy, and they've been embarrassed nationally in the playoffs. And when they get into a big game on the road against a ranked team, they lose.
That's so unlike you.
There's no moral victories, man. I'm this way with the Padres now. 80 wins doesn't do jack ass for me anymore. Let's go.
I'm feeling like if I'm you today, I'm going, man, I'm so glad we have Brian Kelly and not Jim Harbaugh.
Well, obviously,
as our coach.
Obviously, you wouldn't want Jim Harbaugh to be your coach. But I will say that, yeah, I mean, 2 minutes left, you got a chance to win it, and you call some of the worst play calls in history. You got two offensive linemen completely missing their blocks. You end up throwing a back foot Hail Mary, essentially, on fourth down. And look, they were outclassed, they were outcoached. The Georgia players are better, they're faster, they're stronger, they're twice the size. So cool, good job hanging in. But it's an L. At the end, it's an L. Enough moral victories. I've had enough. I've had enough moral victories with the Irish. I've had enough moral victories with the Padres. I've had enough moral victories, period. It's win or go home.
Maybe the most unbelievable college football game of the weekend.
I was going to text you.
I didn't even
you.
See the end of it.
No, no one did. No, everybody went to bed.
We were watching at home on Saturday night. We decided, let's just get home in time to watch the game. Washington State at UCLA. And it got past halftime. I was kind of watching the Aztecs. They were down 20-3 at half. And then Washington State went up 49-17 at home against UCLA. Terrible UCLA that had already lost to San Diego State. Cougs were doing whatever they wanted. And I was tired, so I went to bed. Shelly fell asleep watching the game on the couch.
That's her alma mater.
Came up to bed. We wake up like 2 in the morning. I said, did the Cougs win? She says, yeah, I think so. Let me just check. Look at the phone. Final score. UCLA 67, Washington State 63. I go, that's not possible.
It's not possible.
You can't be up 32 points in the second half at home against a terrible team like UCLA and lose. It can't even be possible. Yet it happened. It somehow happened that you blew a 32-point second-half lead at home against a winless UCLA team.
87% of this country went to bed. I mean, why would you stay up and watch a 49-17 lead or whatever it was?
The Los Angeles Times went to press, and in their first print edition the next morning, apparently there was a column just like ripping UCLA for their unbelievable lack of effort. Chip Kelly, disaster. They just get slaughtered at Washington State. 0-4 now. This is an embarrassment to the university. It's like, sorry, check the online edition for the actual unbelievable comeback.
And I'm so pissed because what a game to watch. And
highest scoring Pac-12 game in history.
What a game to watch. That's one of those games that I honestly could not care less about either team. I want to go back and watch that game to see how in God's name that happened.
I kind of want to do now too.
What a collapse. I mean, Mike Leach, like I said it this morning, I'm like, hey, maybe stop doing bits. Enough bits, all right? You're like, yeah, but they put up 49. They had a lead, a massive
17.
Lead.
They're up 32. What I read mostly was that Mike Leach couldn't get away from basically, yeah, his own ego in that situation, that he still wanted to run his air raid offense. They were still throwing. And, you know, incompletion, stopped the clock, gave UCLA some time to get back in it, where if you just are running, even if you're doing 3 and outs at that point in the second half and bleeding 3 minutes off the clock every time you touch the ball, there just won't be enough time for UCLA to get back into the game. But they made enough mistakes to basically open the door, and UCLA came charging through. And I have no idea if this changes anything for Chip Kelly,
incredible,
turns anything around, or it's just a one-off anomaly. But what an anomaly if it is one. 67-63. That's a basketball score. It's incredible.
It's beyond incredible. And with Gardner Minshew in the house, you thought, when you saw that, him walking out in his jorts and his jacket, you're like, all right, Washington State's going to roll. And they did roll. How do you S your pants in that scenario?
Sloppy game for San Diego State. First half. You know, that interception return for a touchdown early really changed the momentum.
Yeah,
They came out really strong on both offensively and defensively, doing what they wanted to in the first quarter. And that off the guy hands interception return for a touchdown just kind of put the Aztecs on their heels, for the first, couple of quarters, and they just weren't able to recover against a pretty good Utah State team. That's one that the Aztecs will regret. The good news is it's not a divisional game. They're 0-1 in the Mountain West, but they still play all their division opponents, so they can still, they still control their own destiny and everything. But the margin for error is now very slight moving forward for San Diego State, and it really derails a lot of that nice momentum from the 3-0 start.
Well, I mean, the comeback was nice. I mean, you fourth quarter, 14 points.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's scrambling around, making some plays.
Making plays, but putting himself in that situation, that was a game. And that's the bummer, is that's a game that they probably felt like they should have won. And who's their quarterback? Utah State.
Jordan Love.
Love. God bless that kid.
Rocky said NFL quarterback.
He's pretty good, man.
He looked pretty good,
did look pretty good. And it's one game. Nothing to flip out about. I am glad. I was going to go with the family. Hannah had work stuff that kind of bled over into it. If I had gone and they had lost, I would have been the jinx. I can promise you.
USC got a big win Friday night over number 10 Utah. Clay Helton at least kind of temporarily saving his job. So he had some good college football headlines to be sure.
Texas game was pretty good.
Over the weekend.
Craig Meddy tweeted, and imagine being Washington State's quarterback Gordon throwing 9 touchdowns and you lose.
Nine touchdown passes and he lost.
Nine.
Insane. It was insane college football.
Oh, God, I love college football.
All right, coming up, David Schoenfeld, our regular guy from ESPN. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, but he had a nice piece breaking down the Andy Green firing. A roundtable piece on ESPN. We're going to discuss that with him. That is coming up later this hour.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the process starts right now. I think as I mentioned this weekend, I think we look at it, it's about getting the right person. So, ideal world is, we get the right person in a timely fashion over the course of the next month, and we look up and we're able to hit the ground running in the off season. We've got a lot of things that we need to accomplish here this off season, and having a manager and coaching staff in place, is going to be crucial. Ultimately, we're not going to do anything foolish in terms of, we want to hit this timeline. We want to make sure that we're thorough in our process, and we've looked at all the different candidates. We feel like there's going to be a wide selection, and when we get the right guy, we'll go ahead and make that call. And nobody in a few years is going to remember whether we made the selection on November 7th or October 25th. It's just, did you get the right guy?
Yeah, someone brought up an interesting point. What if the Padres hire the new manager before they've unveiled their new uniforms for next season? Do you give him like an old jersey that he's never going to wear?
The old white one?
Yeah, white one. It's like, hey, there's the jersey you won't ever be wearing.
Hey, you know what?
Padres skipper in your opening press conference.
Kill two birds with one stone. All right. Hey, by the way, we're here to introduce our new manager. And also, here's the uniforms for next year.
No,
shut up.
You got to have a much bigger rollout than that.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. That's not going to fly. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. David Schoenfeld from ESPN going to break down the firing of Andy Green with us here in a few minutes. Just checking the standings heading into the final week of Major League Baseball, Woods. All of a sudden, there's a lot of clarity that there wasn't before. The National League is pretty much set. Barring a miracle for like the Cubs or the Mets in this last week, we know it's probably going to be the Brewers against the Nationals in the wild card game. And then you've got your divisional winners, the Cardinals, who have clinched the playoff spot, haven't quite clinched the division yet. And then Atlanta and the LA Dodgers. Woo. So probably going to be Dodgers against Nationals or Brewers, Cardinals against Braves in the division series. And you're all set.
Nationals, Brewers,
one game. Don't know where that's going to take place. They're currently tied. Nationals are 85-69. The Brewers are 86-70.
Scherzer in a one game.
Nationals must have a doubleheader somewhere this week.
Yeah.
They still have 8 games left.
I think we're on pace. All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the NLDS right now. Braves Dodgers, right? We're on a pace for that.
So Nationals Dodgers could be the division series, which would be very interesting.
That would be interesting.
But remember, the Nationals will probably have to burn Scherzer or one of their best pitchers in a wild card game to get there, which means they wouldn't be able to use him twice in a division series. That could hurt somewhat, but God, I don't want to face the Nationals in that first series.
They're
the Dodgers. That's my prize. I win 100 plus games, and
get possibly Max Scherzer.
National League, and yeah. That's my prize in Division Series.
Scherzer,
ouch.
Corbin, Strasburg. Boy, that could
although no one's playing better right now than the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're playing great.
So to count them out, I think is kind of silly.
Yeah.
So I think you could have a Cardinals Nationals NLCS, and I wouldn't be totally shocked at this point. Brewers would be a little surprising. I mean, they have a negative run differential, but they're maybe the best team in baseball in the month of September. They're still red hot. Won 8 out of the last 10.
Well, I was talking to a buddy a month or so ago, and he's like, why would I don't care about, you know, the playoffs and the playoff runs. Like, you sell me on why I should be watching baseball right now. And I said, well, I mean, for example, the NL is going to be crazy coming down to the wire as far as the wild card teams. It's not. It's actually not going to be that crazy in the NL. The NL is kind of smoothed out, and we kind of know what's going to happen. What's happened in the AL, though, you've got your division winners, but the rest of it is really up for grabs, man. You still have Minnesota at 96-60. They're leading their division.
If they win four of their last six. They win games along with the Yankees and Astros, who are already 102.
Yeah, and then you got Oakland and Tampa Bay and Cleveland all duking it out for Tampa Bay and Cleveland are tied, identical, 92-64 for the second wild card. Oakland is two games up. It's bananas right now in the AL, and it's frankly, it's a lot of fun.
But I think eventually the AL is actually less bananas.
Do you?
Well, I mean, the Rays or the Indians will play the A's. Someone will win that game. But I still think it's the Astros and the Yankees. To me, I'd be surprised if those weren't your ALCS teams.
Yeah, me too.
With one of them advancing. And I think the NL is more unpredictable at this point once you get to the playoffs.
Yes, once you get there, definitely. But the run to the wild card, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun next week.
All right, when we come back, David Schoenfield from ESPN is going to join us. He did a little roundtable breaking down the reasons behind the Andy Green firing, whether they thought it was a good or a bad move at ESPN.com. Really good stuff. Also want to remind everyone you can join 97.3 The Fan's Tony Gwynn Jr. and Chris Ello as they broadcast live from Rovino the Foodery right there on the corner of 9th and Market. They're going to be doing it tomorrow and Wednesday from 3 to 6 p.m. You can stop by, say hello, sign up for the biggest fan contest. It's Gwynn and Chris from Rovino the Foodery tomorrow and Wednesday live from Moats. David Schoenfield from ESPN next with Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting ready to chat here with David Schoenfield from ESPN.com about the firing of Andy Green, the search for a new Padres manager. We're going to get right to that. Bennett Woods brought to you by the Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. So take yourself back to Saturday morning, Woods.
Yes.
About 11 a.m. Where were you? How did you get the news that the Padres had fired Andy Green?
I was folding laundry, Ben, at home. My wife had taken Bo down to the Children's Museum, and they had a great time. They were on their way home. She had to go to work. She was dropping him off. Was going to put him down for a nap. And then, of course, I got it in a DM from a friend that just said, bye, Andy. I'm like, what is that? Go to Twitter, find out. Padres have released Andy Green from his managerial duties. I wasn't surprised, but I was shocked. Does that make sense? It was a shocking, like, I thought it may be coming in a week or so, but to get it Saturday, I was shocked.
I was in a very inconvenient spot for breaking news.
Were you making love to your wife?
No, oh. I was on my dog walk.
Oh.
I was well away from my home with no car, like a mile and a half from my house, in the middle of like a park, remote like area where they go off leash, and I'm chucking them the tennis ball
with the stick
that goes it really far. And all of a sudden, I take a text from Paul, just like a wow. And then, of course, I go on Twitter and I see all the news. I had the emails like, man, this is like 5 minutes old and I am nowhere. And then, of course, our boss calls. Hey, can you come in and do a show? Well, not at the moment. I've got to get back to a house somewhere where I can change and get out. But how about like 1 o'clock? I can probably be there by one. And came in. Chris Ello met me here. You guys did a good job. You called in. Coach called in. Tony and Braden, we're down at the ballpark with AJ Preller's news conference. So,
yeah, we had it covered, man.
Yeah, I had it covered, but yeah, it's not like I was anticipating that particular morning. But the explanation that AJ gave ended up making a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
it was simply, hey, we're heading into the final week. We use this final week to start evaluating for next season, to talk about, you know, areas we can improve, things we want to do differently, exit interviews with players. You don't want to do those after the season's gone. They all go their separate ways. So I thought it was an actual, like, real life, genuine reason that you'd fire someone with a week to go in the season. Because otherwise you just say, well, why not let him finish out the job he started? What's the point? But I thought AJ gave a really good answer on that one. All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline right now. Joining us on Ben and Woods, pleasure to welcome him back to 97.3 The Fan. David Schoenfeld from ESPN. David, it's good to have you as always.
Hey, guys. Yeah, May feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Sure does.
It sure does.
You did. You combined with Bradford Doolittle on the website this weekend for a kind of a roundtable about the Padres move. First of all, we were both stunned on Saturday when Chris and I were doing the show that this was the first manager fired in baseball this season. I mean, it took to the very last week. That's pretty rare, isn't it, David?
Yeah, I don't know the history. Yeah, I was kind of hoping we'd get through an entire season without somebody being let go in the middle of the year or late in the year. I don't know if it's happened before. I feel like it happened a few years ago, but I don't have that off the top of my head. So, yeah, it's not like hockey where, you know, like 20 coaches get fired every year back in the day, where usually you probably average, you know, 5 to 6 a season. The GMs usually wait now until the offseason.
David, so you look at what's going on right now with the Chicago Cubs, and they're in a free fall, tailspin, whatever you want to call it. But then you hear that Joe Maddon is an interesting character for an interesting name for the San Diego Padres. Does something like that reflect poorly on Joe Maddon at all? Or if he's out there, should the Padres go out and get a guy like him?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? You know, why are you getting rid of, or why would you hire somebody another team just got rid of, other than Joe Maddon has a long run of success here with Tampa Bay and Chicago. You know, he's getting up there in age, but you would never guess he's whatever he is, 67 or something like that.
He's a young 67.
He's a very young 67. You know, and hey, we don't know if he's going to be canned. His contract is up. Certainly speculation, especially with this late season collapse, that they'll go in a different direction. I view it like this. I think a guy like Joe Maddon just brings some instant credibility to an organization, but the players then kind of create and believe in this credibility.
Right.
I would compare it to the Mariners. Years ago, never had a winning season, never made the playoffs. They hired Lou Piniella, who'd won a World Series with the Reds, and it just said to the players, we are trying to win here. We're hiring one of the biggest name managers out there, and that's why I would kind of think of Maddon potentially landing in San Diego.
David, let's say that Joe Maddon is out at the end of the year with the Cubs. Which job is more appealing to the potential manager out there who might be getting interviewed in both spots, San Diego and Chicago? The Cubs job or the Padres job going forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, look, the Padres have to deal with the Dodgers, and that is not going away anytime soon when you look at the money and all the young talent that the Dodgers have. The NL Central, certainly, I would say, is a much more winnable division. Obviously, you have a franchise that also spends a lot of money with the Cubs. So I guess I would say the Cubs, but, you know, you got to factor in San Diego is a great place to live. You know, yes, managers consider that kind of thing. It's probably a toss-up, maybe a slight edge to the Cubs just because of the division.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really lose either way. I know Theo's pretty tough. Theo's been very vocal this year about the swoon that they've been experiencing in Chicago. And look, I know the injuries. Every team's got injuries. I mean, the Yankees, every team's hurt. I mean, it happens. But
I'd want to bring somewhere a first World Series ring rather than try to duplicate what had just been done a few years ago in Chicago. But that's just me.
No, that's a good point. Because, in Chicago, you got to win now, and it's not just make the playoff. Basically, Theo is saying it's World Series or bust these days for the Cubs, where there is certainly something exciting about building a franchise, building with all this young talent that the Padres have. The Cubs, yeah, 3-4 years from now, where are they going to be? If Chris Bryant's gone and Anthony Rizzo's gone, maybe you don't want to take a chance there. So, yeah, I would. If you're a young, up-and-coming manager that has your pick, yeah, maybe San Diego is a more interesting place to go to.
So certainly, David, Joe Maddon, we heard, if Bruce Bochy wants to take that phone call, the Padres would have him on a list. Mike Socia, the World Series winning names that are out there, Joe Girardi. What about some of the lesser known names? Who are the up and comers who people around baseball are talking about, as the next potential big manager? Because we've seen a lot of guys in their first years on the job, never having a job before, having a lot of success lately.
Yeah, well, I mean, one guy you always hear about is Raul Ibanez, very well-respected when he was a player. He's in the Dodgers front office, special assistant. I don't really know what that means or exactly what he does, but very highly regarded. No doubt if he wants to be a manager, he'll get the opportunity at some point. So, that's certainly a guy. Plus, I think there is a benefit to being not – too far away from the game. So it's only been a couple of years since he retired, so he can certainly relate to today's younger players. Speak Spanish and English, so that's a huge, huge positive. So I think he's a guy. Another guy is the bench coach for the Astros, Joe Espana. Career minor league kind of guy, spent 10 years in the minors. He's the bench coach to A.J. Hinch. Used to be a third base coach for the Marlins. He's another highly regarded guy, speaks both languages. So I think those are two guys who I think the Padres would look at.
Do you think Andy Green, David, ever gets another chance to manage again at the big league level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think he, has a soiled reputation or anything like that. Certainly this year after the start they had for a couple months was kind of disappointing, but... I think he's well regarded in baseball circles, and let's be honest, a lot of these jobs are who you know, who's your buddy. Do you have a buddy who's a GM who might hire you? So I don't know all of Andy Green's relationships, but he's young. I like him. He's energetic. I think he has a chance to get a job somewhere again.
I'm glad to know that at least it's not hopeless for Andy Green moving forward.
Well,
and remember this too. Think of a guy like Terry Francona. He managed the Phillies for 3 or 4 years. I don't think he had a winning season there. He got a second opportunity years later with the Red Sox, and now he's going to be a Hall of Fame manager. So just because you don't succeed on that first
thing, you get like Joe Torre.
Yeah, Joe Torre. There's a million of them. Yeah.
Bill Belichick. If you want to cross sports, there's a lot of guys who've had that first shot that didn't go so well.
So, David, when you and I know we still got a week or so left in the season, when you look at it, though, we were trying to think of, we know three managerial openings. Well, the ones for sure we know, the Giants and the Padres, right? Those are the only two that are definitely going to be open. Of course, we're hearing more in Chicago, but other than that, how many teams do you think are going to take a shot and then fire their manager and go get a new guy?
I think there's two other possibilities. That's probably the Mets and the Phillies.
Wow.
I think Mickey Callaway and Gabe Kapler both have another year, but disappointing seasons. It looks like they're both going to just fall a little short of the playoffs. I should throw in Pittsburgh. Clint Hurdle.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that one.
Disaster in Pittsburgh. I think he's gone, no doubt about it. Nothing has gone right there in Pittsburgh. So I'd say for sure Pittsburgh and maybe the Mets and Phillies.
Last thing for me, David, this is not a managerial question. This is more about the just the direction of baseball as a whole. I mean, the Dodgers just joined the 100-win club. The Royals became the 400-loss team in baseball this year. You're seeing that wider spread between the good and the bad teams. Is that a trend you see continuing? Is that bad for the game, or is it good to have like some super teams and a lot of 100-win ball clubs?
I was thinking of putting a poll out on Twitter today, and what do fans prefer? The split we've had this year with all the 100-win teams and 100-loss teams? Or would you prefer a season where every team is like between 78 and 83 wins? I think we prefer what's going on this year.
Yeah.
So we say it's bad for baseball. And the American League, it is kind of a joke. The bottom teams there are so horrible. There's a lot of bad baseball in the American League. But I don't think having a bunch of 500 teams is good for the sport. Look, if you ask me which teams I like to watch play this year, oh, it's the Astros and the Dodgers and the Yankees, the good teams. So
yeah.
I think it's good to have
it's weird
100 win teams. It's not good to have, you know, five or four or 500.
Be a darn
teams.
Exciting week this week, though, if no one had clinched and every team was within like four games of first place.
Yeah, I know the NFL sometimes, right in the past, has those seasons where you have like five teams that are 7-8 going into the last week of the season. Is that good? I guess it's kind of exciting, but it's also ultimately mediocrity. You know, we want good teams to appreciate.
They can't all be the Tennessee Titans with Jeff Fisher at 7-9
every year.
Every single year. David, really good stuff. We do appreciate you jumping back on with us. Thank you at short notice.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. David Schoenfeld from ESPN.com on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage and auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. Sort of got you.
It's a close one.
Close.
I think I added a few C's. SDCCCCU. But other than that,
in your voice, you caught yourself.
Yeah, a couple times on that one, actually.
Auto loan rates.
All right. Well, this story is not going away, Woods. We'll be following it as closely as anyone. Well, let's be honest. Closer than anyone in town.
Yeah.
We'll be obsessed with this a little bit.
Yes.
Hopefully not to the point where you're like, okay, enough about
everyone else will
who's
be further
replacing
from us.
Andy Green.
Farther
but we will
us.
Be talking about it a lot
when
over
do you
the
think
next
this,
couple of months.
When do you think this happens?
I think probably not until right after the World Series.
Okay.
I think so, they're with all these names on the list, you're going to have one round of interviews. That's going to take 3 weeks just to get the first round of interviews. You know, 9-10 guys come in. That's going to take some time. Then you bring back your top three or four for another round. I would say early November is probably when I'd expect a press conference. I wonder what date Andy Green was hired, because when we talked to AJ earlier, he said he liked the way the process went last time. You know, they collaborated. Trevor Hoffman got in on it. Other members of the front office, everyone got together. And, you know, they ended up settling on Andy Green. He was the one that impressed him the most. So he was hired on November, like, 9th, it looks like.
Okay.
2015.
So we can expect.
So probably about the same. Yeah.
Around the same. All right. That's interesting. And then. And then the roster
October 29th.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, that was okay. So a little bit earlier.
The roster reconstruction starts. You know, there will be no offseason, obviously, for AJ Preller. A lot of questions going into next year. New manager being first.
Plus,
first and foremost.
You know, I know baseball doesn't like other teams to make big announcements during the World Series.
Yeah,
so
like A-Rod.
Even if you settle on it, you know, sometime in mid-October, they'll probably say, hey, can you hold off until the series is over?
What if it's A-Rod?
Make an announcement. A-Rod. Well,
what if it's A-Rod? Could you
feels
imagine?
Different now than it would have a couple of years ago. Is A-Rod going to be throwing himself out there for managerial
jobs this offseason? From all I've heard about A-Rod is that he would be a phenomenal manager. I don't know. I don't know how that would work, to be honest with you. The guy's one of the biggest superstars in the world.
I mean,
like,
if you're going to pick one of those guys, like an Aaron Boone or an Alex Cora for a first-year gig, I don't think you could do better than A-Rod. In terms of that ex-player who wants to jump in as a manager.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know that I want to go that direction.
A lot of cachet.
But if that's the guy, I mean, he kind of brings you both worlds. He brings you World Series rings as a player. He brings you the spotlight. He brings you the name. He drives ticket sales. I'm not totally opposed to that. As much as I wasn't a huge A-Rod fan, he's done a really nice job reinventing himself.
Guy knows baseball, too, like nobody else. I mean,
and
really,
you know that
really knows baseball.
Because you listen to him talk every week on Sunday Night Baseball, and you can tell that that he knows his stuff, for sure.
Do you think Barajas is going to get the gig?
No. I don't think he's going to get the bid.
By the way, Ned Yost just retired, so there's another opening in Kansas City. Why anybody would want that gig is beyond me. Maybe
it's
going to
be
Green.
A tough one for a while.
Yeah.
He will finish the season.
Yes.
So he's not going to be going out in the middle of the year. So add that to the list.
Add
Pirates,
that.
Almost certainly gone.
Pirates,
Giants, Cubs,
Pirates, Mets, Cubs, Padres, Giants. There's five. Wow, Phillies could be six. Holy smokes. Holy smokes.
All right, so
Friar Phil tweeted in, who I think we could probably credit for the firing of Andy Green.
Yes.
I mean, it was, no I think question. It was his. They saw his video.
Yeah, they saw his video.
He asked, what about Rod Barajas? Does he deserve to be in the mix for next year?
Yes, in the mix, 100%. Yeah, in the mix. I don't know that you hand it over to him after eight games, but he deserves an interview.
I mean, what happens if Manny Machado goes into his exit meeting and goes, I love Rod Barajas.
I know.
I really want him to get the job. If he's got the job, I mean,
we're
going to the World Series with this guy. I mean, how do you ignore that?
Do you almost not want to ask Manny? Because you're like, whatever he says, we kind of have to do.
You kind of want to do what he says.
But you can't hire someone and then go to Manny. What do you think? Yeah, I hate that guy.
Or right.
What if him and like
can't
Hosmer
do that, so.
Like different guys? Oh my or him, God. And, her, the whole him thing's and Fernando.
A,
like,
the whole thing's a giant headache.
Manny wants guy A, but Fernando hates guy A and he wants guy B.
Blue ribbon panel. Give me four really good baseball minds to run the Padres next year. I don't know. I really don't. I'm a wreck about it.
Well, good. I'm glad you'll be a wreck for the next couple of months.
Yep.
That's helpful.
I will.
All right. One story we'll definitely keep an eye on later today. Mm. Fred Rogan from NBC Sports in L.A., the tweet he sent out over the weekend, multiple sources confirm there's friction in the Rams-Chargers-Inglewood Stadium relationship, and the Chargers may not be pulling their share. This is a serious issue. He teased he'd have more later today on his radio program. He said that if he has time, hopefully he can join us either tomorrow or the next day to talk about it. I'm wondering how bad this has gotten between Stan Kroenke and Dean Spanos and whether that relationship has soured to the point that they – do you think that there is any chance that the Chargers won't be able to move into the Inglewood Stadium next year?
Because
if they don't have the Inglewood Stadium –
you're
the NFL
screwed.
Is in crisis mode.
Crisis mode.
When it comes to the Chargers.
Welcome back to San Diego and to the Q.
I'm not saying that it would be a 0% chance.
Stop.
If that was the case.
Ben has talked himself into.
You want to go play in the 100-year-old Coliseum in L.A. is better than coming back to San Diego and maybe sharing a stadium with San Diego State?
200-year-old stadium in Qualcomm?
Will you be back on the Chargers bandwagon?
Oh, if they came back, absolutely.
Even with the Spanos family.
I've always said, yeah, if they come
you
back,
are a sucker.
I'm gonna I come back to the team.
You're a sucker.
San Diego trumps all for me.
Wow.
Got to be in San Diego though.
Even if you left for LA for 3 years.
Yep. And there was like an ironclad, like we're not leaving again. You can't just like, oh, we might leave again in a year.
So Shelly now knows that she could make love to another man and you would take her back.
Thanks. I think we're done on 97.3 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.